Right, so today we are diving into the world of a goddess who is as terrifying as she is inspiring.
Oh, yeah.
Kali.
Holy.
And we've all seen the images, right? Those depictions with the skulls and the blue skin standing on Shiva.
Right.
Well, we are going to unpack all of that today.
Yes.
We're going to try to figure out how she embodies time, destruction, and renewal.
Yeah.
And we'll even touch on her role in Tantra.
Buckle up.
It's going to be intense.
It is going to be a wild ride.
So I think one of the things that always strikes me about Kali is that she's often seen as this sort of contradictory figure.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, on the surface, she's fierce, maybe even a little frightening, but then she's also revered as this powerful, liberating mother.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile those two sides?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said contradictory, right? Because that duality is at the very heart of
Yeah.
understanding who Kali is.
Okay, so I get that she's not just this purely evil figure, like some people might think at first glance, but it's hard to look at those images, you know, the skulls and the weapons and everything, and square that with the idea of her as a loving mother.
Sure.
Where do we even begin to make sense of that?
Well, let's start by remembering that in Hinduism, death isn't seen as the end.
Right.
It's part of this constant cycle of birth, death, and rebirth.
Okay.
So when we see Kali associated with destruction, it's not about her being malevolent.
Yeah.
It's about clearing away the old to make way for the new.
I see.
She's the ultimate force of transformation, you could say.
So it's kind of like how a forest fire, as devastating as it can be, ultimately allows for new growth to flourish.
Exactly. That's a great analogy.
Okay, that's starting to make a little more sense.
Good.
But what about those skulls, though?
Yeah.
That garland she wears, it's a pretty intense visual, even if we get the symbolism of death and rebirth.
Sure, but think about what those skulls really represent. Impermanence. The fact that everything changes, nothing lasts forever, that can be a scary thought for some people, but it can also be incredibly freeing.
Yeah, I can see that.
By acknowledging impermanence, we can let go of attachments that are causing us suffering.
So she's not just about death, but about how understanding death and impermanence can actually make us more alive.
You got it.
That's pretty deep.
And that brings us to another powerful symbol, Kali's outstretched tongue.
Right, the tongue. There are a lot of different interpretations of that, right?
There are, and they all add to this complexity we're talking about.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, one interpretation is that it represents her fierce energy,
Okay.
that she's consuming everything in her path, all the obstacles, all the negativity.
That definitely fits the whole fierce vibe.
Right. But there's also a story that connects her tongue to Shiva.
Oh, right. I'd heard something about that.
Yeah, so the story goes that Kali, in this sort of frenzy of destructive dance, accidentally steps on Shiva.
Oh, no.
And her outstretched tongue is a sign of shock and shame, like, oh my gosh, what have I done?
So it's both this raw power and a moment of humility.
Exactly. It's another example of that duality.
Wow, that adds a whole other layer to her character, doesn't it?
It does, and it reinforces this idea that even the most powerful forces need balance.
Right.
It's a reminder that we can't just unleash our energy without any awareness of the consequences.
So we've got the dark skin, the skulls, the tongue, and then there are all those weapons she's usually holding.
Right.
They can't all just be for show, can they?
Of course not. Each weapon has its symbolic meaning.
Like what?
Well, for example, the sword represents her ability to cut through ignorance and ego, the things that prevent us from realizing our true potential. And the trident represents the three fundamental qualities of existence: creation, preservation, and destruction.
All of which she embodies.
Exactly. She's not just this destructive force, but a force for liberation, using that power to clear away the internal obstacles that are holding us back.
Okay, so then we have to talk about one of the most iconic and maybe most misunderstood images of Kali Pali, her standing on Shiva.
Ah, yes, that's a powerful
It's
one.
the one that always struck me as, well, kind of disrespectful at first glance.
I can understand that.
But I know there's got to be more to it than that.
Oh, absolutely. One interpretation is that Shiva, lying beneath her, represents passivity, the static aspect of reality.
Okay.
And Kali, on the other hand, embodies dynamic energy, the force of
I
change.
do.
So their union symbolizes this balance between those two
So it's
forces.
not about dominance, but about partnership.
Exactly. Two halves of a whole working together.
I like that.
And there's another interpretation where Kali's dance gets so wild and so intense that it threatens to destroy the
Oh,
universe.
wow.
And Shiva lays down beneath her to absorb her energy to prevent total annihilation.
But even untamed power needs grounding, a point of stillness to prevent chaos.
Exactly. It's a powerful image, isn't it?
It is. And it makes me think about another aspect of Kali that maybe doesn't get enough attention, her maternal nature.
Yeah, she's a protector, but she also knows when to restrain her power for the greater good.
Which brings us to another fascinating dimension of Kali that I wanted to touch on today, her role in tantric traditions.
Ah,
Have you explored Tantra at all?
I have, yes.
It always seemed a little mysterious to me, to be
You
honest.
can see why.
I know it's about spirituality and energy and stuff.
Yeah, it's about harnessing and transforming energy.
Okay.
It's about acknowledging all aspects of reality, even the dark or hidden parts, and using them as fuel for spiritual growth.
So how does Kali fit into all of this?
She's a central figure in some tantric practices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's seen as this source of immense power, a guide to spiritual liberation.
So it's not just about worshiping her, but about working with her energy, almost like a partner.
That's a great way to put it. But it is important to remember that some tantric practices involving Kali can be misunderstood, especially outside of their cultural context.
Right.
You know, Tantra is a complex and often secretive tradition, so it's easy to get the wrong impression if you're not deeply immersed in it.
That makes sense. It sounds like Tantra itself could be a whole other deep
Oh,
dive.
for sure.
But for now, maybe we can unpack some of the key takeaways about Kali that we've talked about so far.
Absolutely.
What stands out to you the most from our discussion?
Well, I think it's that sheer depth of her symbolism.
Right.
Like how the skulls aren't just about death, but about the liberating power of understanding impermanence,
Yeah.
or how her tongue conveys both consuming energy and a moment of humility.
Right.
It's those layers of meaning that make her so fascinating.
Absolutely. She's not a simple one-dimensional figure at all.
Right.
Her power lies in her complexity, in her embodiment of these seemingly contradictory forces.
And that's where I think her relevance for us today comes in.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Well, we live in a world that often tries to oversimplify things
Oh,
and to
yeah.
put everything in these neat little boxes.
Yeah.
But Kali reminds us that life is messy, paradoxical, full of both light and shadow. And by embracing that complexity rather than fearing it, we open ourselves to a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
So she's challenging us to move beyond those black and white interpretations, good versus evil, and embrace a more nuanced perspective.
Exactly. And in that embrace of paradox, we might just find the key to our own liberation.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
It is, isn't it? And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to understanding Kali's significance.
I have a feeling you're right about that.
Yeah.
We've covered so much already, and it feels like there's still so much more to explore.
So much more.
But for now, maybe we can shift gears a bit and talk about Kali's historical journey, how she's evolved over time.
Let's do it.
All right, let's jump in.
It's amazing to think how her symbolism still resonates today, you know? It makes you wonder about her journey through history. Like, when did she first emerge as this prominent goddess, and how has her worship changed over time?
That's a great point. I mean, we talk about all these timeless aspects of Kali, but she also has a specific history, right?
Yeah.
Where do we even begin to trace that?
Well, we know that Kali emerged as this distinct goddess around the 6th century CE. And it was a time of huge upheaval in India, both politically and religiously.
Interesting.
The Gupta Empire, which had dominated northern India for centuries, was in decline,
Right.
and regional kingdoms were fighting for power, so there was a sense of instability and change.
So it sounds like a time when people might really seek out a powerful protective goddess like Kali.
Exactly. And this period also saw the rise of Tantra and other esoteric practices that emphasize personal experience and transformation.
So Kali, with all her fierce energy and her association with death and rebirth, would have fit right into that evolving religious landscape.
Absolutely. Her worship offered a way to confront fear and find power within oneself during these really turbulent times.
I can see how that would resonate with people.
And over the centuries, her popularity spread throughout India, taking on these different forms and meanings in various regions and communities.
Right, because her image and the stories about her must have evolved over time, too, right?
Of course, each region and community brought their own cultural perspectives and beliefs to her worship.
Yeah, it's one of the things that makes Hinduism so fascinating. It's
Absolutely.
this vast, multifaceted tapestry that's constantly adapting and evolving.
Exactly. And you see that with so many deities.
It's true.
They take on new layers of meaning depending on the context.
Is there anything about Kali's historical journey that particularly surprises you?
What I find fascinating is how she's transcended religious boundaries.
Hmm.
You see her influence in art, in literature, even in modern day social movements.
Oh, wow.
She's become this powerful archetype, you know, a symbol of feminine power, rebellion, transformation.
It's true.
And it resonates far beyond traditional religious contexts.
I mean, we were talking earlier about how she challenges us to embrace paradox and complexity.
Right.
And that feels very relevant to the world today.
Yeah, it's not just about religious belief.
No.
It's a way of seeing the world.
You know, when I first started learning about Kali, I have to admit I was a little intimidated by her.
Yeah, she can be intense.
But the more I learn, the more I find her inspiring. She pushes me to confront my own fears, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to see challenges as opportunities for growth and transformation.
I think that's the beauty of engaging with these powerful archetypes.
Yeah.
They challenge us, they provoke us,
yeah.
and ultimately they guide us on our own journeys.
That's a good way to put it.
You know, Kali, in all her fierceness, reminds us that we have the power to overcome anything,
mm-hmm.
to transform even the darkest experiences into something meaningful.
Like she's saying, don't just accept things as they are.
Right.
You have the power to change, to break free from limitations.
Exactly. And that message is as relevant today as it was centuries ago.
So for our listeners who might be feeling a little overwhelmed by Kali or even intimidated by her.
Sure.
What advice would you give them for approaching this powerful goddess?
I'd say approach her with curiosity and an open mind.
Okay.
Don't shy away from her fierce aspects, but try to understand the deeper meaning behind them.
Okay.
And most importantly, remember that Kali, like all deities, is a reflection of our own inner world. She can help us understand the interplay of light and shadow within ourselves.
Right.
And guide us toward greater wholeness.
That's beautifully put. It's not about worshiping an external deity,
right.
but about understanding the forces that exist within us all.
Exactly.
Kali is not about blind faith.
No.
She's about facing our fears, embracing our power, and becoming the authors of our own transformation.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That's a powerful message and one that I think resonates with a lot of people today.
I agree.
We're all looking for ways to navigate a world that can feel increasingly chaotic and overwhelming.
And Kali, in all her paradoxical glory, offers a roadmap for doing just that.
So we've talked about Kali's duality, her symbolism, her journey through history.
Right.
But before we wrap up, I want to touch on something that I think a lot of people struggle with. You know, we've talked about all these different aspects of Kali, but there's one thing that I've heard people say, and I wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah.
I've heard people call her a dark goddess. Almost like she's taboo or something. Like she's too intense, too much to handle.
Yeah, I can see why people might feel that way.
What do you think of that?
I think it's understandable that Kali can be unsettling for some people.
Right.
She really challenges our comfort zones.
Yeah.
And she forces us to confront these darker aspects of reality, death, destruction, impermanence.
Right, all the things we don't really like to think about.
Exactly, but those things are part of life whether we like it or not.
It's like she's holding up a mirror to those parts of ourselves that we'd rather not acknowledge.
Yeah, and that's where I think her transformative power lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kali teaches us that by confronting our fears and our shadows, we can actually transcend them.
So it's not about ignoring the darkness, but about facing it head on.
Exactly. She doesn't shy away from the darkness. She embraces it.
She dances with it?
She dances with it. And she ultimately transmutes it into something powerful and liberating.
So it's about finding the light within the darkness.
Exactly. By acknowledging the full spectrum of human experience, both the light and the dark, we can move towards a greater sense of wholeness, of integration.
This has been such an insightful deep dive. I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for Kali and what she represents.
I'm glad to hear that.
Any final thoughts for our listeners before we wrap up?
If there's one thing I hope people take away from this exploration, it's that power of embracing paradox.
That duality again.
Yes. Kali teaches us that these seemingly opposite forces can coexist and even complement each other.
Hmm.
You know, destruction can be a catalyst for creation. Fear can lead to liberation.
Powerful stuff.
It is. And by embracing that full spectrum of human experience, we unlock our own potential for transformation.
Well, that's a great message to end on, and I think it's something that all of us can take to heart.
I agree.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Kali.
It's been my pleasure.
Until next time. Keep exploring the depths.